When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hour number three, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. The Power Hour, 800-919-3776. The number to be part of the conversation. We got a lot of headlines to get to here as the Yankees coming off. I mean, could it be a more perfect start to the season for them as a team, where you consider the stage, the opponent, and then Juan Soto, your big offseason acquisition, the star power you added to this team, and the type of like what you got out of him? Like you could not have scripted it any better than the way it went. So you have that.
Can I ask a legitimate question?
I would hope so.
Was this weekend in the series with the Astros more about the Astros or more about the Yankees?
Because
we don't know. Like, this is the first year without Dusty Baker, right?
It is, and it's also, remember, they have some pitching that is injured. They're missing key pieces to their pitching, but they still had, Framber Valdez. They still had some guys. Like, it wasn't like they had no one. But I thought they were sloppy. You know, again, too, the Astros were very sloppy in the field. But, again, from a Yankee perspective, you couldn't have asked for a better start. And now it is, with Soto and what he has done, because sometimes with stars, you always wonder, that jersey's really heavy with those pinstripes. Some guys come in here and they can't handle this kind of pressure, this kind of expectations. How's he going to be? Is it going to take him a minute? Is it going to take Sonny a couple Gray. Of weeks before he has his moment? He had his moment in the first game. He had everything happening in the first series. There's something different about the special ones, right, everybody? There's something different about it.
Did Juan Soto have the fastest Yankee moment? Did he earn his pinstripes faster than any other Yankee coming in free agency?
Yeah, earn his pinstripes. I think that's the question. Usually you do that in the postseason, but I think it's worth bringing that up right now, is the belief level already in him. Oh, no, I believe in this guy already. All right, 800-919-3776. The Knicks lose again, a heartbreaker, a frustrating one. Josh Hart says something afterwards, though, that if you are hoping for the return of the injured starters, he said something that kind of like reveals or might reveal what the players are thinking at this point. And as a fan, you might want to temper your expectations after hearing what Josh Hart has to say. Hassan Reddick to the Jets happened on Friday. But Bart Scott's here to tell you it's a huge move, and now the impact it can have for the Jets as they are clearly all in on winning now. So we have your calls to get to. We have lots more to get to. But first, Bart, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. So what's that mean?
It's the Power Hour, 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 Hour.
Yes, the Power Hour.
Brought to you from Joe Douglas, who continues to keep running laps around you fools.
It's a pretty good move. I have to admit, Bryce Huff, it's almost like you traded Bryce Huff for Hassan Reddick. And Reddick has only 1 year left. You have to figure out if you're going to sign him or not going forward.
No, you don't make that move.
But Huff, you're also, while you did sign him, he's getting 16 a year. You sign him with the hope that whatever he did this year was not like a flash in the pan kind of thing. Right? Like, you know.
Who, Hassan Reddick?
No. Bryce Huff. What he did this year with the Jets, it's sort of like you're banking on,
projecting.
You're projecting he's always going to be this, but you don't know. And Reddick, at least you know, this guy is what he does every year.
You got guys that come in that's undrafted, that play 4 years. You always get them a three-year deal, and the three-year deal is like, okay, we think you're not what you were your first 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what you got. If you ball out your first 2 years of a three-year deal, they'll give you a bit another extension, which takes him right to his prime years, to like eight. Because if you're a first-round draft pick, they're going to own your rights for 5 years, and then you get a five-year deal, that's 10 years. So how free agents or undrafted free agent guys like myself count to 10 is 4, 3, then 5, right? Because that's usually what happens, right? You get the four-year deal, then you get the three-year deal to prove that you can be good, And then after the three-year deal is up, you're usually around 28 years old, and that's when you get your last deal. And, you know, it may not go all the way to the end of the five, but that's how you get to the same place. You just start off differently.
Now, how much do you know about this Rasheed Rice story, the Chiefs wide receiver, and this
I've been paying
attention.
He
was racing.
It was two Corvettes and a Lamborghini. It caused
this
a six-car.
Saturday in Dallas.
Yeah, Stark caused a six-car accident.
Yep.
People who weren't involved in that, and he's nowhere to be found, which is always a bad thing.
They say he fled the scene.
Because we don't know if he's going to try and say he wasn't driving and get a fall guy, or worse, if he was intoxicated and was racing intoxicated and then ran. Because we saw, I forgot who did that a couple years ago. I want to say the linebacker that used to play, Lance Briggs, did that. He crashed his Lamborghini against a wall, and he left it there overnight, and they suspected that he ran from the scene because he was inebriated. And we hope that's not the case. He's going to have to face music. I'm surprised that he hasn't turned himself in yet. He's had ample time to talk to his lawyers, get a strategy, talk about what happened, try and figure out, because it's only going to get worse because the warrant's going to go out in a minute. Have they found Cam Sutton yet?
Yeah, it's the other story following too.
I mean, because this dude's never played. He's almost got like a Briggs type of situation. Not Briggs, Bridges situation where, you know, the allegations of him, domestic violence, strangulation, mm-hmm. like he's already been released from the Lions. So I just don't know.
Well,
like,
right, think about it. This thing with Rice, if the NFL's got to get in front of this, right?
Because
this is, now look, thankfully no one was seriously injured.
Yeah, but know them lawsuits coming.
No, but there are people that still had injuries from this. There was a child involved in this as well. And again, luckily that they were all right. But you're talking about a six-car accident.
Yeah.
Middle of the day on a highway in Dallas.
Racing.
And you're racing. It's a Corvette and a Lamborghini.
Yeah, people,
both of them left the scene. No, you know,
even the Lamborghini?
Yeah, everybody left the scene, yeah, apparently.
So you see a bunch of dudes running. From a
photo, so the TMZ has pictures
somebody that
have,
their phone.
I guess, there is. Oh no! So they didn't immediately leave the scene. So they have some pictures. You know, if TMZ gets
checking
this stuff,
see if everybody's
right?
Okay. Yeah,
there's.
I got pictures, and you get money for.
Oh, there's the. That's how they know. So, police say that it was his car that was involved in it.
But is it pictures of him?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. There's pictures of guys here, but I don't know who's who. So there were people that were taking these pictures. The damage looks terrible to some of these cars. And they left the scene, which is, I guess, what the biggest problem is here.
Yeah, you can't ever leave the scene of an accident. Especially
so they
when
jumped out
cars.
Of their cars and then walked alongside the freeway. And then left when, I guess, first responders were on their way. Mm. And one of the cars is registered to him, but it doesn't mean that he was driving it. I think that's the part that they're trying to figure out.
Right. So, like I said, who's the fall guy? If you weren't driving, wouldn't you have showed up like, oh, no, bro. Like, no, I was here. Like, you know, and tell
better
whoever,
have an alibi.
And tell whoever did it
right.
to take the L.
It better have an alibi.
See, but here's the problem with you, when you're lying. If you were there, somebody's going to see you. And somebody's going to be – they can go to film and cameras that's on the highway that you don't even know exist. And if you do that, now you perjured yourself.
Well, there was somebody that had a dash cam. Mm-hmm. Mm. Somebody's got a dash cam. So that's
Who the hell just walk around with a dash cam?
Well, there are people that do this, man. You never seen that before? But, he's got to come forward.
This has been like 3 days.
Yeah, he's got to come forward.
Like,
if it's your car, you got to come forward.
Yeah,
you got to say something.
Where's the NFL? Where's the NFL?
And that's what
security?
I mean too. Like, because like this for the league, it's bad for the brand, bad for the league, bad for the franchise. Never mind the player, of course.
Yeah, he's gonna have to snitch too.
But you're gonna have to do something.
You're gonna have to either say I didn't know who I was racing, or
and you are lucky. That there's no fatalities.
Well, just
like you're lucky.
But just listen, Henry Ruggs is in jail for probably 10 years for manslaughter because he raced and he was a first round draft pick in his second year and lost it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the devastating result. This at least wasn't, which is why even more than ever, step forward and say something, because this is happening too much, as we know. Look here. Look in our city. I drive home at night a lot after Knick games, and I see that all the time. Cars are racing, flying around other cars, and it's just...
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I understand it's fun, but...
It's all fun until somebody get hurt.
Till that happens.
Changes your life and other people's life.
Yeah. So the update, Tom, on Sutton you had?
Yes, he was formally charged, and he was released from jail on his own recognition.
Right, so you got that, Bart? So the Sutton situation right now is still pending. Yeah,
he also was released from the Lions, too. So they just signed him last year. So already gave up on him. That contract's going and voided for conduct detrimental.
All right, 800-919-3776. I love what Verdugo said about Juan Soto, because it's sort of like you want to hear this type of excitement about a player of this caliber with a new team, and how everybody just seems to be all of a sudden just drawn to what he brings to the room.
Dog. You know what I mean? Like, let's just put it like that. He's a dog, bro. Like, I can't say nothing else. This is, we're dogs out here.
I mean, that, you know, you feed off that stuff. And I thought Cabrera was great, because he just said he watched him in spring training, and he kind of got a feel for like the work he puts in and what he does every day. And he had a great start. He had himself a really good start, in his first four games as well. And so he's a young player, but it's interesting how the impact on even young players when you go around somebody of that level, when these guys have the glow,
attention to detail,
and you get around guys with the glow, and you just want to know, like, how do you do it? What work do you put
work
in?
Ethic, you know what I'm
and
saying?
It's amazing how that raises up other people, and that's the impact that Soto has had early on here. And we have seen too many times the stars have come into New York, and either it has taken a minute for them to adjust and deal with the pressure and all that stuff, or they just can't handle it. And he clearly is built for it. For him, it's, you know, he wants this kind of stuff. He loves the pressure, he loves the attention, he loves being in these situations.
Always want to be up in that situation. That's what we play for. I mean, we all know it's going to be times that you fail, and sometimes you're going to have success. But I always want to be up there. I don't mind to be up there and get all the boos or all the claps. I'm always ready for it.
The boos and the claps. And a lot of players can't handle the boos. And they obviously were booing him there in Houston, because, you know, he won there, he was with the Nationals, and so he was not affected by that stage. And, man, I'm telling you, I think the Yankees needed that, because they have gone into that building and they have looked intimidated by that stage. Well, he wasn't, and they were up to the task, and now, of course, 158 to go. Yeah. But he's still excited. I mean, again, the fan base, and you have every right to. I will not begrudge you of this, because it has been sort of like this up and down offseason and concerns about injuries and everything else. But you still want to enjoy a season. Enjoy it. But health is going to be the prevailing topic throughout the season.
So here's why you maybe can enjoy the season. Because we've seen the Yankees get a 100 wins, you know, especially under Boone, right? His first three seasons, 100 wins or more. First time it ever happened, a manager, you know, getting 100 wins that consecutively in the start of his coaching career. But the fear was, they'll do it and they'll go to the Astros and they'll lose.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, you just swept the Astros, so now maybe as a fan, like, oh, we want to see them. Yeah, it's all good. We ain't worried about them.
I don't know if Goliath was slain, but it does give you that sense of...
Yeah, like, oh, you know, just imagine if you sweep the series. Like, oh, we ain't worried about them no more. Like, we got Juan Soto.
Yeah, it does give you, like, later in the year, you can have that feeling of, we got this guy. We're a little different than what we used to be. So, yeah, it's what you get off of that. Meanwhile, so as the Yankees are just getting started, the Knicks are heading to the final 2 weeks of the regular season and still fighting for a third seed that they couldn't hang on to last night, because they lost another heartbreaker late, this time to the Thunder. It was a crazy ending. But there was something that Josh Hart said after the game when talking about how this team, and everybody keeps saying, when they get healthy. So when they get healthy means when they get Anunoby and Randall back. And what Josh Hart said kind of suggests that the players, they're not waiting anymore.
I'm looking at it like this is a team that we're going to have. You know, I think that's how, you know, we have to approach it. You know, that those guys, you know, aren't coming back. And then obviously we'll be pleasantly surprised if they come back. You know, I'm not in those medical conversations or anything like that. So I don't know, you know. But, you know, we got to approach it every game and the end of the season that, you know, those guys aren't coming back. And if they do be be pleasantly surprised.
I mean, what are you reading into those comments, Bart?
I don't know.
Honestly?
No, I mean, play it again.
I'm looking at it like this is a team that we're going to have, you know. I think that's how, you know, we have to approach it, you know, that those guys, you know, aren't coming back, and then obviously we'll be pleasantly surprised if they come back. You know, I'm not in those medical conversations or anything.
Now, this is the thing, right? We and I'm trying to be tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, he's a guy that he may not be in there with the coaching staff or the medical staff, but he's around. He can get the vibe. I'm sure that he's talking to Julius, and Julius like, I don't, you know, like Julius hasn't given any reassurance. You know how we all felt and we kept hearing all the time. I mean, you know, hey, Mitchell's getting close.
Right.
And he's practicing with the team.
Right.
And, you know, OG's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard any of that by, you know, Julius Randle.
Nope.
And then OG comes back and he gets injured with the elbow. And now we're having questions if he's going to come back. Now, I always thought that the swelling would go down. But remember who we're talking about. We talked about OG and his reputation for having to be 100%
right,
healthy. And once again, this is a guy as well that they have to sign. So he's saying, yo, you have to ask yourself, will he risk it, or what assurances does he have for the team to get paid, you know, or like, is he going to be here? Right, so guys don't want to be
injured. Hope that he doesn't already think that it's a lock, and why should I bother playing if I already know I'm getting paid? Because your teammates
But are you getting paid here? And like, what happens is, like I said, like, oh, I'm saying he'll be fine, right? And maybe he feels like he's not fine. So now he's questioning, can he trust the information that's coming from the medical staff?
Well, it's not, because they have other he's getting other opinions.
I get that.
It's not the team that
right,
is.
Right, but what if they're conflicting?
Who knows? That's the problem.
So that's what I'm saying. And we know what type of guy he is.
Yeah.
Right, where we knew Mitchell Robinson was a guy like, oh, man, I'm coming back because I want to come back.
I just feel like with 2 weeks before the playoffs and you see your teammates exhausted, right? Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that's like, if I can go, let's just go. Like, I'll figure this out in the offseason, but I got to play.
But maybe he's saying, hey, it's going to be what it's going to be.
You're going to get paid regardless.
But maybe he's saying, hey, we're going to be in the playoffs regardless.
Like, so wait to the playoffs?
Why do I need to rush back? Like, I need to get as close to 100% as I can.
I hope that's what he's thinking. I don't know what he's thinking, but we clearly know that it's up to him.
You know how guys would say, like, hey, man, you know, we're close to playoffs. You know, I'll get surgery afterwards or whatever.
Right.
Like, the bigger issue is, like, Julius Randle, man, because what's the narrative if you lose? You know, let's just say now, like, things are getting more difficult because now Joel Embiid is back in the picture.
Yeah, he's going to play. They think he might play by tomorrow
night.
Yeah,
we don't know what he's going to be when he comes back, but this was a guy that has more points than he has minutes. This guy was playing the best basketball that he had ever played and was the most dominant force leading the league in scoring. Right, this dude was scoring more points than he had minutes played.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, like, now you talk about now a guy like this is coming back with Maxi and a team that, you know, they stayed above water a little bit, you know what I mean? They didn't completely collapse.
Yeah, no, but they're battling to stay out of the play-in, right?
Right, exactly. But like, coming back, that changes everything. You talk about lifting your team up,
mm-hmm,
you know, and they have that spark, that emotional lift.
But
and
you hope. You don't know what he's going to look like.
I understand that. But what if he looks like OG when OG came back?
OG had a great impact.
Right, yeah. So it's like one of those things. It's like their hero's coming back, but the Knicks hero and guy is Julius Randle, and it's looking like maybe that's not going to be the case.
They might not, by the way the players are talking. 800-919-3776.
What is he
going to
be if he comes back?
We have no idea, because I watched him last night shoot by himself at pregame.
Did he shoot a jumper?
Yeah, he was shooting threes. He was draining threes. He looked everything. That's the problem. He looks fine, but we all know that his shoulder separation is not something that you would notice until there's contact. And all of a sudden, you take the wrong kind of hit, and that shoulder pops out, and then we're back to zero. And I think that's something that you have to understand. You can watch him take 200 jumpers, and he'll look fine, and you'll think he's fine. But it's not about that. It's about the contact that he has to play through.
Yeah.
And we know that's when he's at his best.
Because when he comes back, do we want three-point happy Julius Randle, or do we
no.
want aggressive using
yes.
my body like the last couple of years, Julius Randle?
That's exactly right. Dante in Queens. Dante, what did you think about Josh Hart's comments?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I think his comments are telling. Now, we know Randle is obviously coming back from a more severe injury, but I have an OG take that might be kind of crazy, and people might think, oh, this guy's on some type of drug. This is the thing. If he cannot go for the playoffs, let this guy walk. Do not resign him and waste the money, because that tells me, number one, you're fugazi and soft, because nobody's 100% this time of year. If you can go at least, if you're at least 80%, you should be able to go. And then you're probably going to say, well, gee, who do you want to replace him? I feel like, I'm not saying Achiuwa is better than him, but as far as small forward, they have similar skill sets. Because I feel like durability counts for something. And I've read articles they're saying that coming out of Toronto where they were frustrated, where they felt like this guy could have came back from earlier injuries, but he has like a zero pain tolerance and wants to feel like he's 110%. That's not reality if you're playing with the physicality in the NBA. If he can't be back for the playoffs, I'm sick of waiting on this guy like, you know, like freaking Jesus to rise from the grave. If he can't go playoffs, let him go and have a plan B, whether they take my true advice or go with, because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the plan B, I understand the frustration, Dante. That's a tough plan B to sell, because you just gave away RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly, and then you're going to just let this guy walk. You know what he is when he's in the lineup. You're a superior team when he's in the lineup compared to when he's not. And you already saw with Achiuwa when he plays, like, it's not anything close to what he gives you. So that, I don't know how much you can let him walk. I think you can't. I don't think you can. But still, Merv in Queens, Merv.
You guys are the best, man. Bart, I'm a little upset with you.
What I do?
10 days ago, I'm going to tell you why. Man, don't give these suckers nothing. You got street credibility. Man, you come to Queens, we'll roll out the red carpet for you. You're more New York than anybody. You got family in the Feds. You play for the Jets. You got the good pizza spots.
Appreciate
come
it.
To Queens, I got you. Now, on the other hand, you guys are way too smart. Don't believe the hype. This organization got it right, man. What's going on? These guys are ready to go. They're holding them back. It's going to be the element of surprise. They're not going to let people plan Leon Rose, Thibodeau. If they were out, they'd say they're out.
You think this is a ruse, Marv? You think this is April Fool's? Josh Hart's going to say April Fool's.
Alan, I'll tell you this. I'm going to call back in a couple of weeks. If I'm wrong, I'm sending you guys Mr. Chow's to your office. How about that?
All right. I'll take that.
All right? And
I'll
you
take
tell
that.
Me what you think. Hey, I'm
listen,
gonna let go.
No, listen. I'll
no,
tell
no,
you this.
No Taylor Ham?
I'll tell you this, though, Merv.
Whatever you guys want.
I will tell you this, Merv. I definitely do not want Merv. I think I don't – I have reached a point now, and I have warned this for the last couple of weeks. I don't believe that Julius Randle will be able to play. Sad
Alan,
but true. I don't
Alan,
believe it, but
Alan,
I do
I
think
you guys.
I do think OG
watching,
will play.
Listen, I'm watching you for 10 years. You are a sharp character. I know some people that know you. And listen to me. I know you're on the payroll, and I'm glad you're keeping this little downtime up and going. They're ready. I'll call you back in a couple of weeks. If I'm wrong, lunch on me, sent to the office. Mark my words.
All right, Mark.
Mark, you're good in the streets in Queens.
Appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll hold you, we'll
good
hold
in
you
these
to
streets.
That. We'll hold you to that. 800-919-3776. Imagine that. The Knicks are just playing this thing.
April Fools.
And they're just playing this.
You want to give them the address now, or
I know, right?
Should we wait?
Just let them know where we are so you can just send the lunch now.
April Fools.
I need a sticker now. I need to make sure that it's a sticker on there so I can't tell that my food been opened up, somebody licked my rice.
Here's what's funny. He did the whole, like, you're on the payroll thing, which is hilarious. It's like, you know, but... Isn't it funny that anybody that actually has intimate knowledge of something is still like, you don't really know. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Bart, you were a Jet. You do things for the Jets. You do the SNY thing. You watch every single snap of every single game they play.
Yeah, it contracts the
IP. And yet, when you say something about the Jets, there are people who will tell you you're wrong mm-hmm. or you don't know. Right,
because they spend more time at it than me,
and it's like that's why like when I try to give you like I try to lead you down the path with Nick's stuff, and then you get like I think you're wrong, like Why would I tell you that if I'm wrong? I'm telling you what I know. But people would rather listen to fans rant and rave and carry on radio than they would people who actually know things. Yeah. I swear I believe that. You'd rather have a fan just like you who will scream at the TV just like you from home just like you.
If they agree with what
and not they... anybody that actually talks to people and get a really good perspective of what's actually going on. You'd rather hear the fan than somebody who actually either like me knows stuff and has been around it for two decades or like Bart who played in the league for over a decade. You'd rather hear from a fan than from people who know. And that is why New York Sports Talk Radio sucks now. It used to be great. It sucks now. And I blame the listeners for this more than anything else. Because of what you'd rather listen to compared to what actually people know. It's mind-boggling to me. But Merv, I'll take the lunch, though. I'll take that any day. More of your calls coming up. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Back to the calls we go, 800-919-3776. Let's take Jason in Queens, been on hold for a bit. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Alan. Hey, Bart. I called some time back when Brunson was called for that bogus foul against Houston, and then after these two games, I just needed to call back again and vent on what's been going on. I saw some comments regarding Brian Windhorst and him saying that Jalen Brunson's a foul hunter, but these are obvious fouls. And you know, it's one thing for you know a little bait here and there by Brunson, but these are obvious calls that the refs are missing, and they're deciding games. The whole thing with the Mitchell Robinson tip up also in San Antonio, like what are these calls coming to at this point? And now we have this whole idea that Brunson's foul hunting. I mean, he's a savvy player. He's a very skilled player. He knows how to take the contact and finish hard. And now we're going to have this whole label on him, and he's going to have to try even harder to get these calls. I mean, when does it end? And I want to get to the Hart comment as well. He's absolutely right. We don't know when these guys are coming back. I don't think we're going to get Randall back for the season. Mm-hmm. I think right now, it's worst case scenario. It doesn't sound too promising for OG either. And it's just the way things are unfolding with, you know, the officiating, these tough losses and the injuries. It's just been a tough, it's kind of coming to a tough end to the season.
Yeah. I can feel your frustration. Yeah. I can feel your frustration, yeah. Jason. I mean, when you have the start, like the middle part of the year after that trade and you have a month like January that you had, and you know your expectations just start to soar because you think, you know, there's a lot of possibilities with this team, and then the injuries happen, and right after the injuries happen you're like, oh, but that's okay, they'll be back, And that's what we were led to believe, that the reason why Randle didn't get the surgery was because the expectation was that he can come back and play, and he wanted to. And you know how much he wants to play, so you start to believe that. The Ananobi thing was just simply a clean-out. Bart went through this, and he told us, oh, this is nothing. He'll be fine. So when we get to this point, which is the end of March, which is what we thought when both guys would be back in the lineup, and you find that neither guy, although OG came back and then retweaked it or whatever he did, and now he's out and we don't know when he's coming back, you do reach that point of, uh-oh. And then you also look at the reality of how hard this team's playing right now just to win games. And then when you get to the playoffs in a seven-game series, you got to understand, like, you have to then take it to another level. If you can't do that, then all this thought about how far they can go in the postseason goes out the window. Now it just becomes, can they be a little engine that could around a little engine known as Jalen Brunson,
yeah,
who that's then adds to the story, is now being hunter. Labeled as a foul hunter. And
that's like calling somebody a flopper.
It's a little bit tougher than being a flopper.
Yeah, I know, but it gives that same condensation. Like, like he's a guy that's just trying to draw a foul. So, he's being theatrical.
Yeah.
I mean,
jumping
in and trying, then putting his hands up, like, whoa, what?
Yeah. Yeah, trying to go through you, but that's using your power. You know, again, like what did Wendy call it? The dark arts, right? Dave in East Meadow, Dave.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
So I called to talk about the Knicks, but you got me pumped up in the first hour. So regarding the Jets, Joe Douglas, he's done a great job. I mean, some of the best general managers of all time have messed up on drafting a quarterback. So just saying that, you got me pumped up. And I noticed when we talk about the Jets, Bart is all in with us. But when we talk about the Knicks, we got to get him more to the Knicks side than the Detroit Pistons. We got to get him over to our side a little bit more. But
I think they've got a trade for Bol Bol, and then he's all in.
Yeah, they trade for Bol Bol.
If they get Bol Bol, I think Bart becomes a Knick fan.
Put Isaiah back where he belongs.
Well, we got no shot of getting Wei-Wei, but it would be nice to get Bart say Wei-Wei all the time.
Wait, Wizzle.
The last caller.
Yeah.
The last caller stole my thunder a little bit because, you know, these calls going back to, you know, he said it when I was going to see the Houston game and that Mitchell Robinson phantom jump ball call. What was that?
Yeah, that was close enough to that. I don't begrudge. I think he did steal it. I think he did on that one. I do think he stole that one. So that
even
one,
if he did, you never see that called.
No, you're right. Now with 35 seconds to go. No, you don't normally see that with 35 seconds to go. They do a re-jump maybe. But I don't see that called, but they did. It's to me the when Brunson is going to the basket on a game, on a potentially game-winning play, and he makes the shot but gets taken, like he just gets knocked over in a heap, and it's two defenders versus one, and the baseline ref is on the completely other side of the play, and not a whistle. That's just hard for me to accept.
That was dangerous. Not only could Brunson have gotten hurt, but Chet could have gotten hurt also. And
look like he did.
I just think that I think that that's something. When they saw Brunson talking to the ref after the game, I was thinking to myself, he's probably saying something like, "When that 2-minute report comes out, I'm going to shove it where the sun doesn't shine." Because I don't know if Alan, I don't know if that's come out yet, but I'm curious.
No,
to
it's
see
5 o'clock.
What they are going to say?
Yeah, 5 o'clock. We'll be all over that for sure. Dave, thank you. Always good to talk to you. Yeah, I mean, again, Brunson talked to the refs afterwards, and what the response he got wasn't anything he wanted to hear.
Yeah, he said it wasn't a foul. Put it into long story short, that's what he said.
Yeah, so that's what he said. So, these conversations that they keep having with the officials, is it ever going to help?
I don't think it's going to impact anything going forward. I just had a question about that, and then that was it. We moved on.
I mean, that's it. I mean, he needs to understand it, though, is that he's now – one of the guys in the league that the officials, have red flagged as he might now not get the benefit of the doubt anymore, or if he ever did. Instead of it being that, he'll get the doubt the other way. Was he seeking that one? If it's an in-between call, you'll lean to call
it. Let him play it out. Let him play it out. Let him play. If he want to play ball like that, physical, then we're going to let it go.
Yeah, I don't love that. You know, and I don't love that form. He's too good a guy. And I'll tell you what, for the league, you finally have a likable star in New York. We haven't had that in a decade, right? A guy of this level and university love, too. Even Melo, when he was here, had his detractors who didn't like the ISO ball, whatever it is. But Brunson, I can't find a Knick fan that doesn't like him. And in this market, how important that is, and for the league to just sort of like, well, you know what? We're not going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, he has about a year before people in the league start not liking him.
For that?
No, just simply because, like, they love you when you're the underdog, scrappy dude, but then when you get on top, like, people love Steph Curry. Now people, you got certain people that can't stand him.
Yep.
Like, he gets away with this little baby face assassin, blah, blah, blah.
That's a good point. You notice, by the way, in the men's college tournament, anybody hits the three, what they do? They do that three celebration that Brunson does. I've seen that done by several players now.
Yeah. They've been doing that in football, too, during the regular season.
They three? Sniff it. Oh, that way. Yeah. I need to get to the bottom of what that's all about because nobody will tell me.
I think that's off. That's some urban stuff, I think. There's
definitely something about that.
Because a lot of people, like the receivers during the season was doing this.
Mm-hmm. The two fingers?
When it was first down.
Yeah. Somebody's going to need to explain that to me.
Yeah, I didn't get the urban you didn't text. Get? I wasn't in that.
You weren't in the group chat?
I wasn't in that group chat for that one.
Mel in New Jersey, Mel.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Always love this show. Just a few quick points, and then I'm going to get off real quick. Y'all always have a great show, so it's always a blur. But last week, you guys was hilarious. You had me rolling from the start of the show to the end of the show. Now,
that's the goal.
My Laker points.
That's the goal. Thank you.
Yeah. Great job. All right, so a few points. So the Lakers, right, man? I was at the game last night, Lakers versus Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And, I mean – LeBron, I said thank you last night to him last night. But also, man, he put on a great show.
LeBron James, they
can play inside, they can play outside. They're gonna be great to watch this playoffs. Now, a quick next point because I went there to see the Nets. You know, the Nets fans they were loud, but you know the building was full. It was a different kind of energy. I've been to a bunch of Nets games, but it was just a different kind of energy.
You know why?
Because Kang was there.
You know why? Yeah.
So you definitely put on a great show. Definitely. So my next point, man, because I do want to see the Nets win, and this is my I don't want to say conspiracy theory or just the way things line up. But, you know, Brooklyn being the smallest market in New York, you know, we barely talk about them. I'll probably be the only voice that you hear this from. Ben Simmons is our highest paid player. You know, I think that, you know, Ben Simmons is not playing. You barely, you know, you see him in street clothes. I think that set the precedent for the rest of the team, and the team follow after that. You know, I think we got great players, but I think they're not putting in an effort every night because of that. And one last point, man, we need a big man. They was throwing Cam Thomas. They're throwing all these little guys on AD.
Yeah.
But the next games I went to, we always got some little guys on these big people. Mm-hmm. Nick Claxton can't play the whole game, you know, so next year, I really want us to work on that and get Ben Simmons out of here because I think if this was any other market, you hear more than one person saying that.
That's a good point.
Well, you can't get rid of him. That's the problem. The contract, you can't get him rid of.
Mel brings a great point up about Ben Simmons that because in Philadelphia, Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio was all about like just they were going crazy about it. But because he plays for the Nets, it's like no one cares. And so there's not angst. There's not anger. There's not frustration.
You need to medically retire.
I mean, it's just there's nothing. Right? Nobody says a word because of it's, well, it's the Nets. Nobody, and it's Ben Simmons. And so there's not enough attention being drawn to it.
They got
to
cash in some of these wings.
Yeah. They got to reset. They need a point guard, but he's right. They also need a big. Nick Claxton's a nice player. He's not that. Yeah, like, he's just not big enough.
Yeah. He's not getting bigger.
Of course not. I mean, he is what he is.
His frame is.
Feels like he got skinnier.
Bigger. Yeah, I know.
When he cut his hair, he looked skinny. Yeah. Right? Somehow that
you need
happens.
To grow it out and let it be an afro so you can look like a little Mufasa or something.
800-919-3776. So what you watching tonight? Are you watching women's basketball? Admit it to yourself. You're kind of curious, right? This might be the night. This might be the night that turns everything, that all of a sudden a game that, you know, not everybody used to pay attention to suddenly has the big stage. We'll talk to you about that and more with the K-Show coming up top of the hour.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart. I say dress to impress. Make my dress.
So normally we are.
We go, go, took a bad bow, back to red 50, say no more. It's back where we got it and going tomorrow. See, check it out when you get teen bum. I got nails off to the holy we go. I say. Oh, I could, because some of the words I can't say. So I'm saying, you nasty boy, that. You nasty.
I understand.
I remember we went to Tennessee.
So normally on Fridays is when we do Can't Wait, but I feel like today's like also a bit of a Can't Wait because it's like.
I feel like I said Can't Wait about all this stuff Friday.
You did, but we still have more games. Have you ever seen this, by the way?
Yes. Yeah, it's like.
It's World, yeah. World something tag?
Yeah, World Tag, yeah. I mean.
Where they
I wonder what is. to draw the real athletes, it's got to cost money. I wonder how many times somebody go there and hit their face.
Oh, my God. How many times do you just completely wipe out?
No, you see how that did?
Yeah.
No, you see how that guy just fell?
He slipped, yeah.
So I tripped my tooth when I was a kid.
Because you fell and you hit it on like a table.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
We were playing the racer tag. So you got to keep the racer on your head and you got to run and you tag him, but just with the racer. And I got close, but I wasn't close enough.
Oh,
you know those old desks?
Yeah.
They stick out. They're not straight up and down. They go at an angle.
So I got a really bad floor burn once. Because you do the slide under the desk thing.
Like right there.
And I did that on the tile floor. And yeah, like it was so much. I was like, it felt like my leg was on fire.
It's like a rug burn.
I can smell your skin.
It's like a rug burn.
Like, you know, it's sitting there raw and the nurse is like telling you to calm down. And you're like, I can't. And like all the kids are like, ew, it's bleeding. Like it just makes it worse.
Did it start off white?
No, it was straight red, and it was glowing, pulsing and glowing. Oh,
because that's the worst. The worst is when you fall and it's white, and you know it's about to start bleeding.
It already started white. So like, for me, it's just.
I'm talking that flush white like that.
But
like
the kids
like
make it worse.
Like the lion eating what we just saw.
Nah, don't. Why would you put that in my head? You should see what Bart showed me. God, I'll never unsee that now.
It's just nature.
It's not nature.
Don't worry.
The lioness coming at me. I was like,
if you ever get caught and you die in the desert, don't worry. They gonna eat the soft parts first.
Why would you do that?
They gonna eat your soft parts first too.
I got a lot of soft parts.
It's a filet mignon.
Now, while there's hockey tonight, Rangers and the Penguins and the Islanders
or Kibasa
and the Flyers and you know all that playoff stuff with the. I like. Come on. Are you watching?
No, I'm just getting ready for Wings for basketball.
Are you watching LSU Iowa? The rematch, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. Give me some of that on ESPN. And then UConn, USC after that. Is tonight a women's basketball night for you?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
All in?
Yeah, I'm be there early, too.
Pre-game.
Yeah,
I'm watching the pregame show?
Yeah, but I'm
I think Ruco and Lobo are on the first game, right? Are they on the 7 o'clock game?
They are on the 7 o'clock game up in Albany, yes.
LSU, Iowa up in Albany. And then did they fix the three-point line in Portland? Because, of course, the NCAA finds a way to screw this up. Isn't that amazing? They had the wrong distance of the three-point lines
before
an Elite Eight game. What are we doing?
But the coaches have to be looking like, yo.
That don't look right.
Why is that? Like, why ain't nobody noticed?
A little further back.
Somebody had to recognize and say, hey, man, go out there and measure that, bro. That
you understand, these courts are built.
They're basically shooting a free throw.
Months ago.
So it makes you shoot a free throw for the three-point line.
All right, make them picks right now. Picks. LSU, Iowa, who wins?
LSU.
Oh, really?
I'm your daddy. Look at me. All right.
UConn, USC. Oh, I know what you're doing.
USC.
You're all about Juju.
Juju.
Oh, man. I'm going to trash talk you. I'm going Paige Beckers. We are going at it in that second game. You and me trash talking.
Well,
tell Winner buys lunch tomorrow. See you tomorrow, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.